Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and I, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, bow, bow. Bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump. What? Ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that. But whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yay! All right, everybody, get your head right. It is a Monday. It is Ben and Woods. It's 97.3 The Fan. All this energy you're hearing out of my voice right now is 100% fake and contrived. I'm summoning from the depths of my soul to sound chipper and cheery on a Monday morning. I'm tired. God, I'm tired. I really sympathize with my co-host. Every day. I mean, every day for sure, but I probably fell asleep at 11, 11:30, which is just awful for a 3 a.m. start. It's just terrible. But anyway, good morning. It's Ben and Woods. I'm half of the show.
I set that alarm, and then it says your alarm will go off in however many hours and however many minutes. There was a couple nights last week, and then another night last night where it's like your alarm will go off in 4 hours and 7 minutes.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks, like, but hey, you know what? It's fine, because I'll tell you why in a second, but Ben will be here soon. Ben Higgins, the great Ben Higgins, the hardworking Ben Higgins, the Ben Higgins we abandoned on Saturday at a barbecue. We'll get to that pretty soon here.
We didn't abandon anything.
Sure, we did. It's fine. We did. We're selfish, Paul.
I showed up early so that I could leave early.
Okay, but we still abandoned Ben, and we'll get to that. I want to get his opinion
of
us.
I'll put a Twitter poll out. Did we abandon Ben?
We absolutely did. I mean, by the definition of abandoned, we abandoned him. So I had a legit excuse. You not so much. But mine is
I had an excuse.
I have a born excuse. He is 20 months old right now, and having a son is the greatest thing in the world, because it is an excuse to never do anything you don't want to do. I have another son to my right here, the young hammer.
What's up?
And I call you my son because there are times when I lie in bed at night and worry about your well-being.
I'm fine.
But you're here.
Made out alive.
You're good, and it's fine. To Hammer's right. Hammer's our assistant producer, by the way. When you call into the Ben and Woods program, you'll be talking to him. To Hammer's right is our executive producer, Paul Reindl. And so Paul and I, Hammer, you didn't get to go. It sucks, man. We don't ever get to hang out with the outside of work because you work so much. You got two different jobs, and you're constantly, if you're not here, you're at Nordstrom's. You usually get about one day off a week.
Hit me up on a Tuesday.
Hit you up on a Tuesday. Tuesday's a big day for Hammer. We can do anything we want after the show.
I'm going to go see Joker tomorrow. You want to go?
Okay, let's do it.
You guys should.
I'm going to actually do, me and Ben, I'm doing something with Ben tomorrow.
Ben Higgins?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's awesome.
What are you doing?
Want to go hang out tomorrow, Woods? What the hell?
Me, Ben, and Shelly, we're going to do like a podcast or something. They invited me.
Yeah,
they invited me on Saturday. I was so excited.
Are you? You're kidding me right now?
I'm dead serious.
Dude, this is the greatest thing ever. They're probably going to do that. Ben has a podcast called Down at Our Rendezvous.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and so you're going to go up North County?
To Regal Siegel, right?
Yes, that's the one.
That's the one.
They said they were going to buy me lunch.
They're going to buy you lunch. Oh, my God. This
it's going to be an awesome Tuesday.
That's great.
I can't wait to hear it. So we did a little. First of all, I hope you listening, tier one listeners, you're up early, man. I really appreciate it. We did a 97.3 The Fan team barbecue. And it was kind of thrown out there a few weeks ago because things have been going well, man. We've been here 4 months or so. Ratings are good. Everybody's happy.
It was a end of the Padres season type of thing.
No, I think it was a ratings thing.
It might have been a little bit of both. It was definitely like, hey, the season's over. Like, let's take some time to pat ourselves on the back.
Either or, it doesn't matter.
I like the ratings one because that feels like more of a celebration.
Oh, yeah,
because it's Padres season. I don't know if we should celebrate.
That's fair. Like, why would we
celebrate that it was over?
Yeah, celebrate that it was over. And so we go to Ben's house, and of course Ben volunteers his home and his wife's cooking ability, which is through the roof. You actually missed out, Hammer, because the food is Saturday about noon, go to Ben's, right? And the whole 97.3 crew is going to be there. You know, you got Gwen and Chris there. You got Coach. You got some of the other guys that are kind of outside the on-air scene. And so I go over there, and I get there about 12:20, which is actually really late for me.
I started at 12,
but I wanted to be fashionably late. So I show up, have my son Bo with me. My wife didn't go. But made sure to tell me on my way out, bring me a plate because that's how good their barbecues are. They're just phenomenal. So I go over and we hang out and it's cool. But, you know, 12 o'clock is Bo's nap time. So by the time I show up at 12:20, he's already 20 minutes late for his nap. And when you're a parent, you don't F around with the naps. You just don't. You want to stick to the schedule because if he goes into a nap late, Hammer, think about it. That means he's gonna stay up late. It means he's not going to go to bed right on time at 7. So everything gets pushed back. So I got out of there after about an hour and a half, all right? And Paul left with me. Now, I had an excuse. I had to get Bo home to take a nap.
You got a kid.
I got a kid. Paul, what was your excuse?
I had a girlfriend ready to murder any and everyone. Say this. There's a time.
The time of the month.
The month,
yep.
For every woman. Uh-huh. In my woman's case, it's there's about 3.5 weeks of every month.
Yeah, I can relate.
So I had one of those. Had one of those weekends. So I had to get home. I also had to bring food.
I had to get home for his angry girlfriend.
I just hide. I do.
I know.
I stay away.
We'll just stay away.
Keep her in Vegas.
But I don't know. Is that a valid excuse? Like, hey, I got to go. My girlfriend's upset
now,
and she wants food.
On. I got there early. I got there before noon.
Yep.
Helped Ben set up.
Okay.
And I left at 1:45 for a barbecue that went from 12 to 2.
I don't know that it went to 2. I think it went longer.
Well, that's not my problem.
All right. I mean, we both bailed on Ben.
I definitely bailed on Ben.
I committed to 2 hours. What I was there for 2 hours.
You showed up late and then left early.
Yeah.
Paul, at least, because what Paul did was genius. And sometimes you can do this for work. If you show up early enough, let's say you show up maybe like 30 minutes early. You can leave 30 minutes early later.
Right.
That's what Paul did. Genius move.
It is a good move.
I committed to 2 hours. I was there for 2 hours.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I get it.
I just wonder if Ben felt when he saw us walk out the door, like, ah, oh, cool, I'm left holding the bag. Now, the interesting part is my wife didn't go. Had a kind of rough week in the Woods household. You can hear all about it on the Woods and Ben podcast.
Nice
That's
plug.
A shameless plug for that, but it's not something I really want to talk about on the air. But we did talk about it on the podcast last week. So she didn't, you know, she just wasn't up to it, which makes total sense. And then once Paul's girlfriend found out that Hannah, my wife, wasn't going, she's like, well, Hannah's not going. I'm not going. Ben's wife, Shelley, had a birthday party that was already planned for months ahead and was like, well, I'm going to cook and then I'm going to leave. So basically we all abandoned Ben. Ben, poor Ben by himself on an island.
With all that food, though, I can't really be that mad at the
dude,
guy.
Dude,
right,
let me tell
you. It's out on Twitter. Did Paul and Steve
bail
on Ben?
Ben and his wife just, I mean, the barbecue's over there. They're just clutch. They're so clutch.
They got a pool?
The food, no pool. No pool. They got a pond in the back. Pond be good for you. You know what movie that is?
I have no idea.
No idea. God. Paul, know what movie that is?
No.
I thought you would call
God.
Me a fraud.
I really need a new show and new friends. But no, other than that, man, pretty exciting sports weekend. I watched a ton of football. I watched a ton of college football, pro football, watched a ton of baseball as I've been wont to do at times. And holy crap. I mean, I'm exhausted. Like it was an exhausting weekend of doing nothing and watching a ton of football. And we'll get into all that today here on Ben and Woods. The other thing we did, I'm sure Ben will want to talk about it when he gets in, is my wife and I on Friday went to see The Joker. And I don't know what it takes to win an Oscar. I don't. I've seen a lot of people in my life get snubbed, in my opinion. If they don't give this guy the Oscar for best actor, then you should stop giving out Oscars and just get rid of the award.
That good?
His performance, I kept the whole time as I was watching it, I just thought to myself, how does one get themselves in that mode? How does one act like that?
Could be very dangerous.
So it really could, and I believe it was, actually. Heath, it was terrible for him, and you wonder with Joaquin, who doesn't always seem to be the most stable guy in the
and
world.
And he did this kind of with Johnny Cash, too, when he did that movie, right?
It's called method acting, and that's his move. I mean, it's like if I told you, Hammer, I want you to play a heroin addict.
Okay.
And you said, okay, no problem. Where can I get some heroin? Because I really want to experience what a heroin addict feels like. Give me the needle. Give me the belt. I'm going to tie it off. I'm going to go in an alley.
Woo!
You know, whatever. These guys get so into that role. And the whole time, this was what was going through my mind. All right, Woods, you're an actor. And they come to you with this script and they say, we want you to be this guy. Could you do it? And I thought to myself, there's no way. The places he took himself in that movie, it makes your skin crawl the whole time you're watching it. And in my opinion, that's the mark of a great performance. He killed it. I mean, it was unreal how great it was. The movie itself is awesome. Awesome. And I'm not a Marvel guy. I'm not a DC guy. This was a movie that was right up my alley. And because it was like a Scorsese movie. It was like Taxi Driver, where you see somebody's descent into madness. And we loved it. And we just kept looking at each other the whole time going, God, I found myself laughing uncomfortably a couple of times during the movie because it's so uncomfortable. It makes you uncomfortable. Of course, I was the only one in the theater laughing. Something would happen.
Like a madman.
Yeah, and I would go, and then I'm like, oh, God.
With an evil laugh.
Just kidding.
Just kidding, everybody.
It was not funny.
That was insensitive of me. I'm really sorry. It was so good. The other thing I watched, surprisingly, I got home that night and after watching a baseball game or whatever was on. What was on Friday night? Was something on Friday?
Baseball.
Yeah, watching the Cardinals game. I watched El Camino, which is the Breaking Bad.
No spoilers.
Okay, no spoilers.
Because I'm currently rewatching actually Breaking Bad. Because it's one of the...
We can't wait that long.
Well, how long you got?
Dude, I already knocked out a whole season in 3 days, so...
Great, so I'm
give me a week, man.
So I
got
to wait 3 weeks for you to talk about...
No, one week.
I was going to say, like, Ben season, watch it in a couple days. I'm like, all right, that's enough time where we can then talk about
it. By this time next week, I will finish Breaking Bad, guarantee.
All right, well, I mean, I'm not going to spoil anything.
Okay.
But I will say, it was
all right. It was a movie.
My review is this.
Well, it's on Netflix and it's free, so that's kind of the best you're going to get.
I mean, it's not free. You pay a subscription fee. Unless, knowing you steal somebody's.
I don't steal it from my mom and dad. I'm their son. That's not stealing. It's a rite of passage.
It's free for you, but the rest of us do pay, $12.99 a month?
I know a guy.
It was
Yeah. It's good to see everybody. Good to see the old cast of characters.
Good old Jesse.
But I don't understand the point of it. And I think maybe when you see it, you'll maybe feel the same way.
Confused on the title, El Camino.
You'll know as soon as you see it.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not that big of a...
It's not that big
that's
of
not a...
spoiler. No, it's not a spoiler at all.
What kind of car did Jesse drive off at the end of...
It's an El Camino.
Bad?
And while we were watching it, I saw in season one, he actually tries to buy an El Camino.
He does.
Doesn't have enough money.
Exactly.
Goes after that little red car.
Light bulb's going off.
Yep. Light bulbs going off. So yeah, that's my review of El Camino.
That's better than Rotten Tomatoes.
It's better than Rotten Tomatoes, but and you know, worth your time. Yeah, I mean, if you watch Breaking Bad, you should watch it. So hey, we need to get cranking here on a Monday. We will. We got a huge, huge show. I'm just looking over here. Ben usually sets this up, so we'll wait for him to get in. And a lot of baseball to talk about. A lot of football to talk about. What an embarrassment yesterday for the NFL. And the Los Angeles Chargers, my God. But on Friday, we talked to who is probably, I'm out of the two guys in this business, this godforsaken business that I look up to the most, one of them being Howard Stern, which would be a nice get for our show if we could ever get Stern on to talk sports. I doubt we can, so we'll settle for
I was texting him yesterday.
He's my best friend. we will talk to Mike Reiner. We talked to 1310 The Ticket in Dallas, where I grew up. He's got a little insight on the Ron Washington rumors. And Ron Washington, I mean, I guess he interviewed last week for the Padres job. So we wanted to get somebody with a perspective, somebody that had covered him, and we'll talk to the old gray wolf, Mike Reiner. Easy for me to say. We'll play that for you next on our 97.3 The Fan Spotlight. Happy Monday. ...97.3 The Fan. It's Ben and Woods. Wait for Benny to get here. Kill a little time with one of the most comfortable voices of my entire life. When I hear this guy's voice, it makes me feel like I am in a warm blanket. Love this dude very much. They always say, don't ever meet your heroes because you'll always be disappointed. Paul was nice enough to set up a meeting when I was at the Super Bowl last year. Mike Reiner from 1310, The Ticket in Dallas. Legend. Legend in my eyes and one of the best in the business. He's got such a southern way about him. If you've never heard Ryan's on the radio with us, he's phenomenal. Here he is. We asked him about Ron Washington, covering him for many, many years as he did down in Texas. And we all kind of liked what we heard. So here's Mike Reiner from 1310 The Ticket in Dallas talking to Ben and Woods on Friday. All right. Well, it's Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan, and we are very happy to welcome back to the program once again the old gray wolf, the great Mike Reiner, the host of the Hardline, 1310, The Ticket in my hometown of Dallas, Texas. Wolf, how you doing this morning?
I'm like that Glendale police officer. I'm lucky to be alive and lucky to be talking to Ben and Woods and the denizens of San Diego today.
That is my guy. Well, we obviously, when we started hearing the rumors, obviously we need a manager here in San Diego, and there are a lot of names being floated around. There's actually, we could actually ask him about a couple. I'm gonna start here, Benny. I'm gonna ask, what do you know about Jace Tingler? Because that's a name that's come into our periphery.
Most
here. The
people
last,
say nothing.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
The last couple of days, Jace Tingler is I believe he's a current employee of the Texas Rangers.
He is a name to me, and very little more. Honestly, I'm not sure if I could pick him out of a lineup.
Yeah, that's kind of how we all felt.
And I follow the Rangers very closely, but he's been in the organization for a long time. He's done just about everything there is to do over time. He started working more and more baseball side. And on the inside there, he seems very, very well thought of. In fact, his name was starting to work its way into the Rangers' last managerial hunt, which, of course, wound up with Chris Woodward, who everybody's very happy with. But keep an eye on this guy. He could be a strong dark horse.
I would certainly hope that if he wasn't thought highly of by the Rangers, I don't know why the Padres would be kicking the tires.
Well,
on,
he
on
was
such an unknown name
he
as
just,
a potential manager.
He
so
was.
He
just didn't get the job.
Right.
Yeah.
No, he is, and you know, I would have expected that at least someone's talking about him. But the name that really does keep popping up here, Mike, is Ron Washington. Who I don't know the story. I keep hearing good things about how well he works with infielders and how much his players enjoyed playing for him. But there's also a couple of skeletons in the closet. There's a question about whether he even wants to come back and manage again. He's seemed pretty happy as a coach these past few years. Most recently this year with the Atlanta Braves. I wanted to get your perspective on Ron Washington and what he was like as a manager with the Texas Rangers and just kind of what you thought of the guy.
If Ron Washington winds up getting that job, get ready for a trip that is nothing like you have ever seen before. There is nobody like this guy. I love him myself. It didn't end well for him here because, first of all, it was probably time for him to go. You know, managers have a shelf life, no matter how good or bad or whatever you may be. You know, you wear yourself out over a period of time, and he was probably at that place. And he committed an off the field peccadillo that was embarrassing to the organization. But as far as what he did as a manager, we have never had anybody like that guy. I love the guy, and he is great with infielders. Players love him. The stories that guy tells are just absolutely mind-blowing, and if you get to know the guy, you too will fall in love with him. I mean, he's really an awesome guy. I hope he gets another chance at managing somewhere along the line, and that would be an ideal situation for him. And I hope it works out. But here's the thing about Wash. He is so unlike everybody else. And these guys who are looking for managers have a certain type of guy in mind, you know. And Wash is most definitely and most assuredly not that guy. He doesn't play the game. He is old school to the nth degree, and I mean that in a good way. And he's just a very, very unique individual. But if you bring him on board and manage your team, he will get results.
And that's one of the things I think, you know, Ben and I have talked about. Like you said, there is a model, maybe in some GM's eyes, of what they're looking for. And maybe that guy is a younger guy that's really analytics-based and all that. Ben and I were talking about how we feel after pretty much 50 years of futility here, save a couple here and there, 84 and 98, it's probably time to hire somebody that will make the GM a little bit uncomfortable, if you will, and to bring in maybe somebody that is that has the way that they do it. And when you watched Wash game to game, because I know you did, how did you find his in-game managing skills? Obviously, he had a rough go in that World Series, but I can't put all of that on him, obviously. But when you watched him game to game, did you find him to be a really good manager?
He's a player's manager. He manages by feel, and he is not one bit afraid to go against the grain and do something unconventional where, you know, convention says in this situation you do this. And it's been proven time and time again that you do that. Well, he will go against the grain. A lot of the time it'll work. He's different in just about every way. There's nobody out there in this game like him, but it says a ton that he stays in it. I mean, he'll tell you. One of the first things you'll hear him say probably if he winds up getting the job is, I'm a baseball man. And that's what he is. That's what he does. That's all he's ever done. And he's made his way in this world through the game of baseball. There's nothing he doesn't know about it. There's nothing he hasn't seen. And he's thought all this stuff out. You know, you're probably going to think he's not real smart or intelligent, but believe me, he is. You know, in his own way, he is, and there is nothing that, no situation that he hasn't thought through and tried to figure out how he would handle it if it comes up. Now, does that always work out for him? No, it doesn't always work out for him. Doesn't always work out for any of them.
Yep.
But if you want results, he is the way to go.
Wow, Mike, it's been 5 years since he was last manager of the Rangers, and while that's not that long ago, the world has changed a lot in 5 years, and I wonder, do you think he can last in this era of constant scrutiny of social media, of Twitter, of fans, of, you know, one wrong turn of phrase, and all of a sudden you could have thousands of people who are on your case? Is he politically correct enough? It sounds like he's not very politically correct to make it in the year 2019, 2020 now as a baseball manager.
You know what he thinks about Twitter?
Nothing?
Not one whit. Not one. I mean, I don't know, in the Twitter world, people can say whatever they want to about him, and he'll just say, I don't care. I manage the game the way I want to manage the game. And he's not being defensive when he says this. You know, it's just a statement of fact with him. I manage by feel. I did what I thought was right in the game. It didn't work out. And, you know, that's that. If a guy tells you that, then that's it. But, you know, you have to look at all the things he does when he is by field that do work out. And those are multitudinous.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, he wins ball games. I mean, he wins ball games.
And the other thing is, players love him. I mean, there are tons of players who were here with the Rangers at that time who credit him for their careers.
Yep.
And for making them better players. And, you know, like I say, he's the kind of choice that when you're at first blush, you're going to go, man, what are we getting ourselves into here? But I don't see how the Padres could make a better choice than Wash.
I love
it. And I hope this works out for him.
And you know, there's of course, like with anything and anybody, there's always rumors floating around. And a couple of people on Padres Twitter have pointed out, hey, well, the circumstances in which Wash resigned, there's some cloudiness about it, right? There's a potential. I can't find anything on it, Rhines, other than a couple of blogs that wrote about maybe a potential sexual assault is actually the one that I saw. That's obviously a concern, especially these days. It should always have been, but it really is to the forefront now, Rhines. What rumors did you guys hear? Did you hear any rumblings of anything like that going on in Texas?
Never heard sexual assault. Now, there was an extramarital affair with the wife of some guy that was in the somebody in the organization. And that was what we heard. Now, as far as sexual assault or anything like that, though, I've never heard that. And believe me, if there was something like that afoot here, I think I would know about it.
That's kind of why we wanted to talk to you. I mean, I think you know, as much as you've covered the Rangers in your entire career and as dialed in with the organization as you are, that was one thing we wanted to ask about, certainly. But I, you know, me having grown up there, having heard your coverage of Wash, having watched Wash manage, he was my number one choice, and hopefully the Padres are doing their due diligence on him, and I would love the fit.
Mike, just quickly before you go, while we have a couple more minutes, I can't not ask you about the Cowboys. After their great start, kind of crashing to earth the last couple of weeks, should have a chance for a bounce back at the Jets this weekend. Who are the real Dallas Cowboys now through 5 weeks of the season?
Your guess is as good as mine, man.
Boy, they started hot, though, didn't they? Woo.
Oh, yeah, it looked great. I mean, in training camp and through those first games against really bad teams, it looked like we had a legitimate Super Bowl contender on our hands. But reality has set in, as it will do in the NFL. And I don't know. It's hard to know what this team is going to turn out to be, especially in view of the fact that now the offensive line, which is, make no mistake, what this team is built around, is starting to get hit with some injuries and guys who just no longer look like they are what they once were. And I said at the time that the Cowboys needed to address that somehow in some kind of way in the draft. They did not do it. And now it's starting to come back to haunt them a little bit. But I don't know. I don't know what this team is. I do know this. If they don't beat the Jets, oh, my God.
They'll be calling for somebody's head, as they usually do, Ryan.
Oh, boy.
Well, we can't thank you enough for your time and your insight on Ron Washington. And if he is the manager here, I know you know Wash, so you need to put in a good word for Ben and Woods with the new Padres skipper, hopefully.
We'll do it, man.
Thanks
we'll do
so
it.
Much.
Thank you, boys, for having me.
Mike Reiner, 1310 The Ticket in Dallas. Love it. That turned out to be a very timely interview, Woods, because later that morning on Friday, Ron Washington apparently interviewed to become manager of the San Diego Padres.
Sure was did.
Spotted in San Diego, and that's not specifically why we talked to Mike Reiner on Friday, but we certainly had heard the name coming up a lot more. In fact, over these past few days, when people have, and I get the question a lot, and I'm sure you do as well, who do you think is going to be the next manager of the Padres? I don't know the answer to that question. I'm not sure that A.J. Preller knows the answer to that question 100% right now. But when I'm asked, and you know they want a name, the name I now give is Ron Washington.
Same.
It's my thinking, okay, if I'm going to make an educated guess right now, I guess Ron Washington.
Yeah, I would guess the same. There's no inside info there. That is purely on a gut feeling. And, you know, you just got to remember, too, A.J. and Ron, they know each other from their Texas Ranger days, Ben. So while Jace Tingler is getting a lot of people tingly, I think Ron Washington, in my opinion, would be the better choice.
He got mentioned again yesterday. Of course, we will have an update for you. We will talk Padres manager candidates as we do every single morning. We will also get into the football weekend. About as disastrous of an NFL day in the city of Los Angeles as you could possibly imagine. What was supposed to be a marquee day turned into a miserable day. We'll get to that coming up. Hammer time as well, all in our first hour of the week. Waking up with Ben and Woods and the Tier 1s. Glad to have you with us on a Monday morning right here on 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah! Single back is Gordon with Rivers under center along the left hash. Drops to throw, swing pass Gordon over his head. That's behind the line. The ball is loose, scooped up by the Steelers. It's picked up by Devin Bush, who dives into the end zone for a touchdown.
Why would he not take that ball? But that's a big play for the Steelers in an away home game for them.
Chris Boswell drives the kickoff through the end zone for the touchback. Normally, when you're on the road, a defensive touchdown would quiet the crowd. But as you deemed it an away home game for the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's going to do anything but. You can already see the terrible towels starting to wave everywhere in the stadium as the Charger offense takes the field.
The last time the Steelers played out here, the Chargers had to go to a silent count because it was so loud for their home team that they couldn't hear.
This is fine. This is fine.
Well,
love
fine
that meme of a little cartoon dog sitting in an office that's burning.
Everything's on fire.
Everything's fine.
I always go with the Leslie Nielsen from Naked Gun, standing in front of everything exploding. Nothing to see here.
Megaphone.
Nothing to see here.
Fireworks factory exploding behind him. Yeah.
Seen that movie.
This is not fine at all. At all.
Isn't it, though, at the end of the day?
But the NFL will continue to tell us that, oh, no, this is all part of the plan. We knew it was going to
be tough.
Take some time. This is a long-term play, not a short-term play. Are you watching the disaster unfold week after week? And maybe the worst yet last night. Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan on a Monday morning. We knew it was going to be, you know, a heavy Steeler contingent last night for Sunday Night Football.
Used to be a heavy Steeler contingent here.
Sure, absolutely. They're a heavy Steeler contingent anywhere they play. They've got fans across the country.
And they travel so well. And anytime you live in a place like Pittsburgh and you get a chance to come out to Southern California, you take it.
But there is a tipping point where the optics of something become so bad so embarrassing that you're hurting the league. You're hurting the image of not just your own franchise, but I think it starts to trickle down to the rest of the league as fans wonder why aren't you doing something about this? Why did you let this happen? Didn't some people tell you that this was going to happen? Because I sure remember a lot of us saying, yeah, a move to LA is going to be a disaster before they even did it.
Sure.
And yet they let them do it anyway. And now here we are, not 2 months after the move, not a year after the move, the third season after leaving San Diego, and if anything, they're less popular in Los Angeles. That's the thing. You know, you say this is the long-term play, and hey, if we just pick up, you know, 100 more fans a year, you know, after 30 years, we'll have 3,000 fans. Well, you're not. You're losing fans. You're actually bleeding them already. By the time 30 years are up, you're going to have zero fans at all. There's not going to be a Charger fan left in America in another decade if this continues the way it's going, which
first of all, I don't know if this is a road game. I mean, Steeler Nation really came out. Honestly, I thought I was going to have to settle some people down.
You lost to that guy, by the way, a third string quarterback. What's his name? Devlin McGregor? What is it? Devlin?
This company's a monster.
all you fugitive fans will get that one.
Devlin Hodges. It sounds like a pharmaceutical company, actually.
It does, actually.
But he's a duck. They call him Duck, right?
Yeah, he's a world champion.
What are you doing?
He's a world champion duck caller.
Is that him?
That's him.
That's actually him.
I've never been duck hunting. My uncle...
That really sounds like a duck. That's a person?
No, it's a duck call.
So you use a kazoo or something.
No, it's not a kazoo. It's called a duck call. So I've never been duck hunting.
No, I grew up in San Diego. I've lived in Southern California my whole life. And you expect me to have any idea what's involved in duck calling?
Will you let the Texan weigh in on this?
I didn't watch the show Duck Dynasty once.
God, me neither. So this is what I don't understand. So my uncle was a duck hunter, and he always had these things.
Oh, I did have that Nintendo game, though.
Yeah, Duck Hunt. Amazing.
Great game.
Couldn't play it right now. You wouldn't be allowed to play Duck Hunt in the year 2019, almost 2020. It's herding animals or something. But they're made of wood, and they're called duck calls. Now, I'm 4 years old, and I think it's the greatest thing. If I gave my son a duck call, he'd be running around the house all day going... But he's a world champion caller.
Pretty good duck.
I can do a decent one.
You were almost Donald there.
Now, that's with no tool.
No.
So I'm like, how are you a world champion? You blow it better than anybody else? Like, you use it? Then, all right. That didn't sound right.
We're doing this, huh?
I just don't understand. So he's a world champion duck caller.
But is it?
It's the thing in his mouth that is.
Do
making
they have
the noise.
Actual ducks, and you see if they respond to it, or is it just
yes.
Yes. Subjective from like judges say how good you
no,
are?
No, I don't know. Like ooh,
like,
got a four.
Like what is a duck calling champion?
They're yeah. Like, God dang! Listen to him. He is. He's really blowing that thing well.
Yeah. So I got the nickname actually in college. My freshman year, I was kind of battling out. For the quarterback position, and my head coach started calling me Duck, and then like I was just doing really well, and then a bunch of guys on the team was like, you know, hey, if he's Duck, you know, it's Duck season.
Hey, it's Duck.
And it kind of just caught on, and then just it's stuck with me ever since.
Stuck
as far
with
as like
me.
The duck calling.
Where's he from?
I'm a big duck hunter. I mean, you got to call the ducks while you're hunting and get them to come in. And when I first started duck hunting and doing like the duck calling.
Made.
I found out that like they had competitions for it, and I'm like a super competitive guy, so I just kind of got into it, kind of learned how to do it, and
oh, you just blew
started
the
winning
thing?
A bunch and became a champion.
He's a champion,
a world champion, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
You beat
Kimberly, Alabama. Is yeah, exactly. Where he's from.
No kidding. Well, hey, listen. The embarrassing part was obviously. The contingent of black and yellow around Dignity Health Sports Park. But also the play on the field was putrid. The Chargers made a late rally.
Like, what did they do last week at practice?
Yeah, did
play
you guys,
duck hunt all week?
Did you guys show up at all? I mean, is it one of those examples where you're like, yeah, we're playing a third-string quarterback. They're terrible this year. I don't know. I mean, by the way, though.
Well, you played a terrible quarterback in a winless team the previous week,
yeah.
And you didn't score in the first half
yeah,
either. That's
exactly.
That's two straight weeks. That's a trend, and that's a coaching problem right there.
It was ugly. It was really, really ugly, man, from the get-go.
And it wasn't just the Chargers, by the way. The Rams were almost as ugly and almost as overrun by opposing fans with the 49ers fans back in the LA Coliseum.
That was insane.
As they improved to 5-0, and Rams just looked bad. I know Todd Gurley was hurt. I wonder if Jared Goff was injured as well. They didn't say anything, really, over the course of the game, but... I mean, he threw for 78 yards. His passes were off target. The first series of the game, they didn't even throw a pass. And that always gets me like thinking, like, is there a reason they're not? I mean, are they staying away from it? Is this strategy or is there something they don't want us to know about early in the game?
We have 78 yards?
78 yards by the end of the game. And he missed some wide open receivers.
He did.
I mean, this was very un-Jared Goff-like.
You know, we talked about it when we did our roundtable here on 97.3 The Fan. You know, I think Tony... Chris,
I was all on board on Jared Goff.
Yeah, and I think, but they said, "Hey, I fully expect a Rams hangover." Well, they came out and what? They won what? The first three.
First three.
Well, now they've lost three in a row. Correct? Doesn't the hangover work differently? Don't you come out and lose the first three? And like they looked really good the first 3 weeks, and I'm in here beating my chest, going, "I told you guys they weren't hungover. They look phenomenal. They look horrible right now, and I don't know how you fix it." You hate to say, well, the only thing that could be wrong is a Jared Goff injury, but what else would explain how poorly that team is playing right now? Rough week, Ben, for Los Angeles sports fans. USC went down as well, but nothing, and I mean nothing, comes close to this.
Georgia.
Holy cow.
Georgia.
I wasn't paying quite as close attention. I know they're... Top three-ranked football team went down in flames Saturday in double overtime.
Let me run this week for you in Georgia. Sunday, the Falcons lose at Houston 53-32. Monday, Braves lose to St. Louis 5-4. Wednesday, Braves lose again to St. Louis 13-1. Saturday, UGA loses to South Carolina 20-17. Saturday, Georgia Tech loses to Duke 41-23. And Sunday, the Falcons lose... to Arizona, 34-33. That is like the worst sports week. It's got to be the worst sports week in history. Like no wins. There's nothing to hang your hat on if you're in the state of Georgia right now.
I said Georgia.
Brutal. Brutal. Our boss is from Georgia. And he is like, he was so despondent.
Poor guy.
He was so despondent after the Braves went down and then his beloved Georgia Bulldogs got beat by a team they had no business losing to.
And I said Georgia.
Poor guys. And they have to live in Georgia.
So. The Hawks lost the preseason game to the Magic as well.
Forgot that one.
Checking that one out. There you go. They're winless, yeah. So.
Do they have an NHL team?
Are the Atlanta Thrashers still a thing? I feel like they got them somewhere else. They moved at some point.
Did they?
I don't. I don't even know. That's weird that I don't know that the Thrashers still exist.
Let me see.
I feel like they did at some point, and now they don't.
Well, the people also ask, what happened to the Thrashers? Yeah, they're gone.
Yeah, they're gone.
Yeah, they're gone. They're the Winnipeg Jets now. So there you go. All right.
Well, the Jets are doing just fine.
But they're in Winnipeg.
All right.
Let's do this.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Stop. Hammer time.
Morning, Hammer.
Good morning, man. Oh, we're just going to go after it today.
Let's go right into it. What do you got?
So you know how there's like some of those words that, you know, basically can kind of mean anything. It's just a multi-definitive word.
Uh-oh.
Has many definitions.
I don't know if that's...
That's definitely...
I know what you're saying. Yeah. I'm not sure that that's...
Dude, hammer is one of those words. And I was thinking about it. First off, hammer, it could literally mean a person, me.
Okay.
I've heard people use it as a tool. It is a tool.
That it's not. They don't use it as a tool.
It's more known as a person. Anyway, well.
You ask 100 people.
What is a hammer?
What is a hammer?
They'd say me.
They're saying, oh, Bennett Woods is assistant producer.
Yeah.
No. They're going to say it's the tool that I use to hammer in nails.
You can get hammered.
You can get hammered. Yes.
Drink way too many Bud Light Platinums. Happens to me.
You can Bruce hammer. Of the night. It's true.
Yeah, right? You can hammer. If you really like somebody, she lets you.
Oh, hammer.
Jesus. What?
Is it a verb?
Kind of. It can be a verb.
It's a euphemism.
Yeah. It is a euphemism for
during that. The weekend, I hammered out some bets. Because you can hammer down a bet. If you have a beef with somebody, like let's say me and Woods have a beef. Let's go outside and hammer it out.
That really is a word that has many, many uses.
I would disagree. I would say that it really all stems from the one original meaning of the tool and what it does. It's both a tool, it's a noun, and it's also the verb of which you use the tool. I'm hammering the nail. But everything else just implies that determination of continuing to hit something over and over again, whether it's, you know...
Shots.
Yeah, whether it's literally or, you know... figuratively, where you're just continuing to go after something, you're hammering it over and over again. It's kind of all based on the original meaning of that hammer and the tool with what it does.
Sure, but I do feel like there are a lot of uses for the word hammer, right?
It's basically like the F word, just depending on how you use it.
That's true. F word is, I mean, there's 100 different ways that you can use the F word. And Ben has never done it.
Never done
it. I do it all the time.
And hammer. I'm just saying, those are two great words. So, and I was thinking of the
versatility. I assume you got your nickname, though, because of your dogged determination, you know, your willingness to, you know, keep at a task until it was completed. Something like that.
More so, I just thought it would be a really cool name for a linebacker to have. Like,
I love that you nicknamed yourself. I want you guys from now on to call me Ace.
Ace?
Just from now. I've always liked the nickname Ace.
But see, you're not an ace. I clearly, like, when you took one look at me, you're like,
why
this guy's the
ace?
Hebrew hammer.
Why can't I be an ace?
You're just not an ace.
Woods can be an ace.
When I think of an ace...
If Woods wants to be an ace, he can be an ace.
You're not an ace.
If I roll up, like, Ace in Stand By Me, if I roll up a pack of cigs in this sleeve here, tuck one behind my ear, I'm Ace.
Yeah, but that's not you.
All black.
Well, okay, you're rocking that right now.
Right now, as usual.
You're more of an ass than an ace.
But you can't just make... I love that he's like, did you at one point go in front of your team and say, hey, from now on, I'm Hammer. Nobody gave you that nickname. You gave it to yourself.
Did you walk into your school with that name? Did you get it in high school?
Well, I would just always, if I'd make a play, like I'd make a play in the backfield, I'm like, the Hebrew Hammer, let it hit! And then we'd watch film, and I'd say, damn, look at that play by the Hebrew Hammer right there.
You're talking about yourself.
But, like, you weren't Alex your freshman year, and then all of a sudden you come back from summer break.
You start ringing bells, and they're like, man, this guy's the Hammer.
Well, I always got like a bunch of nicknames.
No. It's Hammer now.
Yeah, people would give me these random nicknames. I got like Pearl Jam because my name's Pearl, and
I like that.
I like that one.
I got a lot. Pearls, which I actually really like.
Pearls is great.
But then I was like, man, I kind of want one too. I kind of want to give me something else. So
he calls himself Hammer. Ben, any nicknames in your youth?
Not really.
No.
Higgy, that's Higgy the Biggie. Yeah.
I like
Big
that.
Ben is obviously a pretty obvious one because of the clock and my
size.
Yeah, so they get that one a lot. But I didn't give myself any of those nicknames. Like what we were talking about earlier this hour with Devlin Hodges. They start calling him Doc for, you know, it's organic. There's a reason for it.
He didn't start calling him, hey, everybody, call me Duck.
I didn't tell everyone to call me. I just kept calling myself that, and people started to catch on, and I wasn't going to stop them.
All right, well, Ben Stop. And Ace from now Hammer on. Time. From I want to be Ace. I've always liked the name.
It's not going to catch on, though, like Hammer. Hammer just caught on.
A good nickname, like Fly and Honey. It caught on like Fly and Honey. guy kills me. He kills me every single day.
It is incredible.
You're amazing.
So you got a taste of my life last night. Staying up late.
Yeah, it sucked.
To get up early because there was a
nauseous
about 5-hour baseball game that went 11 innings and your team came up just a little bit short.
A little bit.
Yet I think that series is destined to go possibly the distance. I'm looking forward to it.
Pretty impressive, hasn't it, Ben?
I mean, really pretty good start to both series. We'll talk a little baseball playoffs. That is coming up. Hour number two, we got through the first hour. We made it alive. It's Ben and Ace.
Yes! Yes!
Here on 97.3 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.